I'm Vanessa Teague. I'm a senior lecturer in the Department of Computing and Information Systems at the University of Melbourne.
So my first question was about your hack that you did with Alex Haldeman for the New South Wales iVote system in 2015. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about that hack?
So let me start off by telling you something about the iVote system. This was an internet voting system where voters could vote from their own device, their PC or their phone or whatever. And they were connecting to the Electoral Commission server through a secure protocol called the TLS protocol, which is the same protocol that you use every time you send your credit card over the internet. So the idea is that when you send your vote, nobody else is supposed to be able to read it in transit. And obviously, nobody else is supposed to change it before it goes back to the Electoral Commission. Those are really the two things that we want out of any voting system, whether it's electronic or not. So what Alex Haldeman and I found was that although the connection direct to the Electoral Commission was secure enough, the system was also pulling in some extra code from a third-party service. And that third-party service hadn't set up their secure connection properly. And we showed that it was possible for a man-in-the-middle attacker to intercept that code that was coming from the third party, change the code to whatever we wanted it to be, expose how the person had intended to vote, take over their browsing session, their secure voting session completely, and then send a different vote into the Electoral Commission from what that person had intended.
Wow, so you could have changed the outcome of the New South Wales election if you wanted to.
Any attacker who sat on the internet between the voter and that third party could have changed that voter's vote, yes.
Well, I think one of the things that people talk about internet voting systems is that they're brittle. Were the changes, if you say you were a malicious hacker, would you be able to change just one vote or could you have changed many?
You could have changed a vote for anybody for which you could sit on the internet between that person and that third party service. So if you were at the third party service, for example, you could change them all. If you were in a crowded cafe or some other place where you had perhaps compromised the Wi-Fi service and lots of different people were connecting through your compromised Wi-Fi node, then you could do this to any of those votes that you controlled the internet traffic for. This is exactly the kind of attack that the TLS protocol is designed to prevent, right? The whole point of that secure connection is supposed to be exactly that you shouldn't be trusting everybody else out on the internet who's relaying your packets, and you should be able to protect the connection, even in the case where you don't trust the other people on the internet.
Is that particular to the type of system that the New South Wales iVote employed, or is that common to all types of internet voting?
Well, it depends whether you're talking about this particular attack or security problems in general. So this particular vulnerability was particular to this particular system, and in fact, they patched it after we notified CERT and they notified the Electoral Commission and the problem was fixed. So this particular vulnerability isn't going to exist next time. But then the question is, what's the likelihood that some other thing with equal serious implications for the integrity of the election result might be present in whatever other system runs next time?
So I understand that there's new developments in software and technology that's taking place, one of them being the blockchain principle of kind of a distributed database, a record, online record of all transactions that take place, and that there's research trying to use this blockchain verification to be able to verify a voting system online. Would these kind of principles be able to help guarantee a secure electronic internet voting system?
My core area of research is trying to understand how we could design an electronic voting system to allow everybody to verify that the answer is right. So there's two different answers to your question. One is there research on designing verifiable voting systems? And the answer is absolutely yes. I could talk about that all day, and I will in a minute. But then the second question is the blockchain the answer to that problem? And my answer is no, not really, because by putting votes on the blockchain, you still haven't solved most of the fundamental problems around internet voting. So in particular, this attack in which an attacker compromises your browser and just sends in a different vote from the one that you intended to send, putting your encrypted vote up on the blockchain isn't going to solve that problem. It's still not going to be the encrypted vote that you intended it to be. So we need to have some kind of mechanism to let voters verify that their vote really is the thing that they intended to cast. Blockchain isn't going to help with that. There are other kind of fundamental problems that the blockchain isn't going to solve either. For example, there's a real problem making sure that people can't pretend to be somebody else when they're voting. It's a problem in the paper system as well, but the opportunity to automate identity fraud in that way is huge over the internet. So we need to make sure that whoever's posting that encrypted vote up to the blockchain is the eligible voter they say they are. Putting it on the blockchain, again, isn't necessarily going to solve the difficulty of making sure that bit is secure.
I guess with discussions about blockchains and different types of software and man-in-the-middle attacks, I know that one of the things that's fundamental to the way we conduct elections now is the scrutineering process. So yes. Anyone can go and say, oh, that's a one, or no, that's a two.
Exactly.
What kind of skills would be required with an internet voting system or an electronic voting system to verify the accuracy and transparency of the vote?
Right, that's a really good question. So there are a couple of answers to that question. First of all, it's really hard even to design an electronic voting system that even allows that option. So again, if we go back to the iVote internet voting system, there was a very basic kind of verification mechanism. You could telephone in to a third-party service and you could tell them your iVote ID number and the receipt number that you'd got when you voted. And you could ask to have the vote that had been recorded for you read back to you. So that's kind of a very basic way of giving you the opportunity to check that the right vote is kind of in the system for you. There are a few serious problems with that, however. First of all, it's a disaster for privacy because now there's a third party who knows how everybody, who has the contents of everybody's vote. And if you call up from an identifiable telephone number, then they know who you are at the time they're retrieving your vote. Second of all, it really doesn't prove anything about whether those votes have been properly dealt with after the point where people have called up and tried to verify. And then third, and most importantly, the New South Wales state election was a year ago, and we still haven't heard what the failure rate of that particular verification mechanism is. So we have this system, it kind of looks like a verification process. There's no way for the scrutineers to tell what's going on, but this verification process itself really isn't complete.
I know that there's a whole bunch of countries around the world that have some form of electronic voting or internet voting that they've trialed it and employed it, or trialed it and maybe gone away from it. But there are definitely countries around the world that do have electronic voting systems. Have they overcome these problems, or are they not as scared of them as we are, or are we just kind of Luddites in this process?
It depends what we do. Probably the best answer to that question is to talk about other states in Australia. There are other countries, but the most interesting project is the Victorian VVote project, which is a project that I had a lot to do with. I helped a lot with the design. The idea of that was it's an end-to-end verifiable system that runs in a polling place. So a whole lot of Aussie expats in London showed up to the Australian High Commission and voted on a computer. And there's some very sophisticated cryptography for allowing the people in the polling place to get some evidence that their electronic vote really matches their intention. And it's quite a complicated process, but they can get help from the people who are manning the polling place. Then their encrypted vote is sent electronically back to Melbourne, and the Victorian Electoral Commission put up a special website that listed all of the encrypted votes. So you could walk out of the polling place with an encrypted receipt, which you could use later to check that your vote had got properly back to Melbourne. Then there was some cryptographic proof that all of those encrypted votes had been properly processed, and that proof also was put up on the web. So there really was a genuine equivalent of the opportunity for scrutineers to watch the process. So individual voters could check in the polling place that their encrypted value matched the way they intended to vote. And then absolutely anybody could check that all of those encrypted votes were properly shuffled and dealt with. Now, when I say absolutely anybody, the level of technical understanding necessary to understand whether the proofs are right or not is very high. And that's not ideal, but at least the proof is out there.
It sounds like it could be secure, and it sounds like the system takes a lot of good designing, and but maybe one day we can do it. But I'm guessing that systems in other countries perhaps don't have the same levels of checks and balances. Is it possible that people are being voted in other countries around the world by teenagers sitting in their bedroom sipping Coke?
The country with the largest internet voting system is Estonia. And even in Estonia, the internet voting system is very controversial. So it has some basic attempts at verification, although Alex Haldeman and his team showed that those methods could be fairly easily bypassed. Unfortunately, in that country, the results of the internet voting system tend to be quite different from the results of the paper records. It might be because of demographics. Needless to state, the people who tend to vote on paper tend to think that the discrepancies tend to be more likely to attribute the discrepancies to the insecurity of the system. The people who like the internet voting system and tend to vote by the internet think that the only reason for discrepancies is that there are demographic differences in who chooses to use it. That's obviously not what any Australian wants to see for our democracy, I don't think.
So I know that in 2014, the Australian Parliament looked at internet voting and electronic voting, and I think they came up with a few recommendations. First up, I think they said that we shouldn't do it. It potentially gives a catastrophic failure to our voting system, that it could be completely compromised. But they did recommend that perhaps we could have electronic registration of voters that could be synced across different polling centres, and that we could have optical scanning, optical recognition of votes, so just to make the counting easier and faster.
Which they are doing.
Do you reckon the report's about right? Is it about the right level?
I do. So two different things there. One is for things like voter registration, the really key thing about voting system, whether it's electronic, whether it's on paper, whatever, is if something goes badly wrong, you want to find out. That's the key thing that we need. We can't promise that everything will be perfect all the time. We can't promise that we'll always get the right answer. But we absolutely have to know that if something went wrong, the scrutineers are going to be standing there and they're going to notice, and the electoral authorities are going to be honest about it, and we're going to find out and have a chance to fix it up. And that's really the risk of running a large number of votes over an internet voting system. It's not that stuff can't go wrong in the paper system. It's the risk that something goes badly wrong, but nobody actually had an opportunity to find out. So if we're talking about something like voter registration, if somebody commits fraud against the registration system, and it can happen, and it has happened, or at least it has been reported to have happened in the United States, that can be very bad, but we're going to find out eventually. So I do think that electronic registration is sensible, as long as the people make sure to check those electronic registrations as thoroughly as they can. On the question of Senate counting, I've actually just written an article in Melbourne Uni's Pursuit, along with a large team of other researchers from Australia and the United States. We've been looking recently at the Senate count. And although we agree that the scanning process is perfectly sensible, we still think it's really important to make sure that we have an audit of the paper evidence of how we voted.
What's led you to think that it's so important to have a look at the paper trail?
I'll take a step back and explain roughly what's going to happen, or what is happening indeed this week. The Australian Electoral Commission is getting a whole lot of paper ballots. They're running them through a scanning process, and then they have to translate those ballot images into a list of preferences for each voter. And they do this with great care, and there's an opportunity for scrutineers to look at what's printed on the screen for each ballot digitisation.
So that's those big, long tablecloths that we're scanning through the...
Right, yep. It's a hard job. And then they're gradually publishing for each state and territory the complete list of everybody's preferences. So you can see Tasmania and the ACT and Western Australia and the Northern Territory are all up already. If you want to recount those Senate races, you can recount them yourself. But if the thing that concerns us is if there's been an error in the processing at some point, or if there's been a security problem with the system, or if there's a bug in the software, then we don't necessarily see evidence that those preference data files accurately reflect the way that the voters voted. Now that the AEC has published the preference data files, it's really important to go back with those published preference data files and audit the paper evidence just to double check that the preference data files really do accurately reflect the paper evidence of how people voted.
Have they been reflecting them so far?
Don't know. I mean, that's the whole point, right? There hasn't been such an audit yet, but there needs to be, because election software is no different from any other software, and many researchers in Australia and overseas have investigated both the security and the correctness of election-related software. Both us and the team at ANU have found bugs in counting software. We've found security problems, as we've already discussed, in the iVote internet voting software. Teams in the United States have found similar kinds of security problems in their electronic voting and counting machines. We can't expect the integrity of our Senate result to rely on this software system being perfectly secure and perfectly correct, because the odds are it isn't.
What's the answer?
The answer is to adopt some techniques from the United States, where electronic tabulation of vote results is very common, which is why I've been working with a team from America to devise some techniques for a randomised statistical audit of the paper evidence of how people voted. So we take that preference data file that the AEC has produced for four states and still counting, and we choose some random elements of out of that file, some random votes, and then we go back and we pull those particular pieces of paper out of the pile and double check that that piece of paper accurately matches what's written in that row of the data file for that vote. And if we do that for a few thousand votes and we see that they all match, then we get a pretty good level of evidence that the system has been functioning properly and the results accurately reflect the way people voted.
I read your conversation article and at the bottom it says that receiving votes from the internet is the easy part. What's the hard part?
Getting evidence that they're right. This is the thing. Getting evidence that the election outcome is right. Knowing that software is fallible and buggy and usually insecure.